And here we are on a Wednesday. Welcome to it, Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station. 97.3 The Fan, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Mr. Scraby all together in our Odyssey Palace studios, but not for long. Mentioned this to Mr. Scraby during our pre-show get-together, but Tony and I are going to do 5 or 6 minutes here of an open, and then we're getting out of here and leaving the rest of the show for Scraby. The reason for this is Tony and I spent all morning producing the show.
So. I love it how one day I feel like Chris has to come in and say this joke like three times.
I feel like we did your job today, so
I know
you should do ours.
I know that you feel that way.
You should do ours.
We had a pretty good, we had a pretty strong effort this morning.
Yeah, we got a lot of goodies coming up. San Diego State media days. College basketball. I mean, this season saves me every winter, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's the off season for the Padres. We have no football. You know, we have no basketball. We have no hockey team. So, you know, Brian Dutcher and Stacey Terry Hudson and everybody in town who plays some college basketball kind of gets us through it and gives us a lot of fun, a lot of joy every winter. And so we're going to talk some Aztec basketball today. The men are heading to Las Vegas today for their media days, which is tomorrow. The women had their media day today, and we'll hear from both sides a little bit later in the show, so we're looking forward to that. We'll talk about some of that stuff. Also on the show today, coming up in about a half an hour, this is something that I think Scraby kind of has wanted, and Tony and I were putting it off for a few days because we wanted to go through the 5 stages of grief. And, you know, again, I don't know if any of you ever got past denial out there, but...
Seems quite a few were still stuck in denial.
Still stuck in denial that anything actually happened to the Padres. But today we will take our first real look ahead at next season. We'll run down the 26-man playoff roster and, you know, discuss a little bit who's coming back, who might not come back, what the Padres may do with each and every member of that baseball team. So that's coming up in this first hour of the show. How are you today, T? Everything okay?
Everything is fantastic. Still
good.
Kinda getting acclimated.
Other than that, your wife had you out there putting up the Halloween decorations the last few days since the season is over, and
I actually got away with not doing it because the season extended.
The
so
season
long.
Extended long enough that you didn't
and,
have to do
and
that.
And my
huh?
wife really wanted to get the most out of our Halloween
right.
decorations, so they
yeah.
went up pretty early. So
yeah.
I skated on that one.
Scraby said that I'm going to one of these days be Clark Griswold, and I told him I'm not going to be because I can't even hang one string of lights without really bitching about it. I don't.
Well, you can't even get your headphones out of spaghetti on a daily basis.
You're right, and
that's
I can't untangle the lights either. That takes about a half an hour. I have to hand it to my wife on one count about the hanging of the Christmas lights or the Halloween lights, which we now have ahead of Christmas lights, is that she has the guts to come and ask me every year to do it. And she knows that it's going to be met with major resistance on my part. Yet she's willing to stick her nose right in there and go, okay, time to do the lights. And every time I'm like,
she knows you're harmless, ultimately.
I am ultimately harmless.
Now I can only...
Good job will get done.
Good point.
I can only imagine Chris doing, like, one strand of icicle lights. Like, that doesn't seem like it's worth
the fight. No, that's all we put up.
Seem like it's worth the fight.
Oh, it is, to me, I might as well build a Chrysler building. You know?
To put
a string
of lights.
Yes,
I can't leave Chris on an island. I mean, I think I bitch about the same exact thing about when the chances are that I do.
Yeah, right.
Like last season, Padres didn't go to the playoffs. I was involved in making
you
sure all that stuff got out. So.
Yeah, my wife has to keep up with the rest of the neighborhood, and since everybody in our neighborhood
have a
decorates now for
the
Halloween
rest of the day too,
we have to do. Oh yes, I'm miserable the entire time.
My gosh!
And by the way, do the lights? Can they please make a string of lights that works the following year? They never work the next year.
As a guy who has a dad who, before his back injury, put up thousands of lights every single year,
right.
It's all about the storage. Because you've got to take care of the storage.
That's a great point.
Well, that could be right.
As the storage at our house got better, things started lasting.
That's a good point.
Good because point. Lights don't get jostled out of their little socket.
You're not pulling, you're not untangling them as much. Yeah.
And I think that you've hit on something, because as much as I bitch about putting the lights up, I bitch just as much about taking them down. So when it's time to take them down, I'm like, I just grab them and throw them in a bag. And
that's
it.
Why you have to untangle
and
them.
And that's why the next year it's a disaster.
One of my worst moods in the last 5 years is when my dad asked me to help him take down the lights. And I made that a living hell. I was like, do you want me to take down these lights? No, not yet. Well, then why am I out here? I'm here to take down lights. Why am I not taking? Because that, we got to do it in order. Well, can I take down? No.
That is the mind of someone who doesn't want to do it.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
We can all
You
relate.
Told me to take down lights. I'm taking down lights, and now I'm in trouble for it.
Yeah, we can all relate.
I'll tell you one thing I would rather put lights up instead of, though. And that is watching the Cleveland Guardians playing any more baseball. This team is, they are, honestly, Tony, they are a collective deer in the headlights in this series. We talked about game one the other night with the young pitcher who threw 7 strikes and 21 pitches and uncorked 4 wild pitches and kind of let that game get away. And you try to watch him last night.
The moment got a little big for him.
It got big for him. And then the shortstop last night. I mean, I don't know
Rocchio,
how many.
Right?
Rocchio, I think. It is. Yeah, I don't know how many pop-ups I've seen to a shortstop in my career, but I've never seen one boxed up that badly. So bad that it bounced off his glove all the way out to right field and a run came in. Their right fielder, Will Brennan, kicked the ball around 2 or 3 different times. I think he only was given 1 error. He could have been given more. And you look at this team, I mean, other than Ramirez, who hasn't been, you know, doing much until that home run in the 9th inning last night, there is no one, and that includes Lane Thomas. I know Lane Thomas had the big series against Detroit, but he's their cleanup hitter. He doesn't scare me, and I don't think he scares the Yankees either. But the way that Stephen Vogt,
in the election.
Thank you. Stephen Vogt, the way he is managing his team, honestly, to me, is pathetic. I mean, and I'm complaining about it from all the way across the country. I can't believe the Cleveland fans are too thrilled that he pinch hits his best pinch hitter, David Fry, last night in the 4th inning. Now, the bases were loaded, so I get why he did that. However, it was very short-sighted thinking as far as I was concerned, because Fry pinch hit for the catcher, Bo Naylor. What did that do? That put our guy Austin Hedges into the game for 2 at-bats later on, one of which of those came with the bases loaded. And you, Tony, and I know, and Scraby and every Padre fan watching knew that Austin Hedges was striking out in that situation. And that's exactly what he did. I just Cleveland looks so overmatched. To me, and now they'll probably win, turn around and win the next 3 games. But it's frustrating when you know the Padres go out of the playoffs, and you know, as a baseball fan, I got to keep watching, and I'm watching this. So
I mean, Guardians haven't played great the first 2 games.
No.
I don't know that that's at the behest of Stephen Vogt, though. I think the Yankees are a better team, and I think that's been the case all season. You go into a postseason and you got 2 starters. It could get dicey, especially when you're facing a lineup like the Yankees have.
I know. I mean, his starting pitcher's Tanner Bibee is the ace of their staff, and the guy can only get 4 outs last night.
Right. I mean, that's
that makes it pretty tough.
That's gonna be tough. So,
yeah.
You know, the Yankees are the better team. I think that's just kind of what it is. We'll see how the rest of the series, because you go back to Cleveland, the Guardians team plays a very good home team.
Yeah, he might be able to win a couple of games. We'll see. I thought Aaron Boone did a nice job. I mean, he had Garrett Cole out there. Couldn't quite get him through the 5th inning, and bases loaded. And it's only the 5th inning, but what does he do? He brings his best reliever right there. Holmes, and he gets out of the inning and keeps the lead for the Yankees. I thought that was a key move.
Now, is that okay because it worked? Because Vogt does the same thing on the offensive, and he brings his best pinch hitter in a big spot, and you're criticizing him for it.
I am criticizing
it. Because it didn't work?
I'm criticizing, probably.
Okay.
But I'm also criticizing the fact that I had to watch Austin Hedges bat twice in a championship series. I'm sorry. That's difficult for me to do.
Did you hear?
He's on the roster.
Well, that's gotta, their that's their problem. Did you hear at least the... Bruce Bochy was smart enough to not let him play that last year. He just kept him over
kept
there.
Kept him in there?
My yeah. God. Did you hear the John Sterling call of the pickle last night?
Calling him drunk.
Yeah, here's so
the Yankees base running wasn't exactly
bottom of the
great.
6-4-2 Yankees lead, but this is what John Sterling said.
The 0-2, a bouncer, and Rizzo is going to be picked off. He's in the middle between second and third. Hedges now throws to second, on the way to third, back to second, back to third, tagged out, end of inning. Boy, if that wasn't the Yankees. That's what they do. Run the bases like drunks. Well, Glaber will lead off the next inning.
Run the bases like drunks.
Can I also say that, did you see that live at all, Tony, or highlight of that?
I saw a highlight.
It was a really poorly executed rundown, was it not?
Yes.
Hedges has the ball.
Yes.
You're supposed to run at the base runner, not throw the ball from where he was. And they ended up making a bunch of long throws there that were really kind of unnecessary.
It would have been nice for Hedges to run him down, but at that point, whoever gets it next needs to be the person that runs him one way.
Yeah.
He said short, third.
It was poorly done.
That's way too many throws.
Yeah, well, the Guardians, people. That is your team that is representing the American League on that side of the championship series.
The anger for the Guardians is so misplaced.
Why?
They're not even in the same league. And
what did the Guardians
you have no investment
you?
In the American League.
Well, because right now there's three teams in the playoffs left that I categorically hate. The one team that I remotely can get behind is the Guardians.
Oh, so it's more you're irritated.
Yes,
that they're not
I'm irritated that I'm rooting for a team that just has no clue what they're doing out there.
It just seems like you're crushing them at every turn.
Well, I was expecting
to at least give an effort.
You keep reminding us about how they're not supposed to be there.
I mean, the Yankees. You're not going to root for the Yankees, are you? You're not going to root for the Dodgers. Easy to root for the Mets either.
What are you going to do?
For the World Series?
If it's a Yankee dot, what is everybody going to do?
I'm going to sit back and be a grouch like Scraby. I'll just bitch and moan about everything that happens.
Can you stop using that word in seconds? It's like the seventh time.
Yeah.
It's coming in hot today.
honestly, I say that I won't watch it, and I'm.
Oh, I'll
you're
watch
definitely
it. Come on,
watch.
Look, I've watched.
I watch it in here when it's on TV.
Look, Tony, I don't like the Chiefs, and I certainly don't like the 49ers,
you
but I put up with that
right?
two of the last Touché. 3 years. So, Touché. You know, I'm a fan. I'm going to watch.
I just know the vitriol for those two teams here.
There's going to be a lot of it. And it's looking.
I guess I have to cheer for the
Yankees.
Even
though the Mets are 1-1, I still feel like the Dodgers are have the edge there. We'll see. Game 3 is tonight.
Would you be interested in a Subway Series again?
Not really. Hardly. No. Like, the results are not going to be great, but if there is something I would do, Yankees.
What would be your ideal matchup?
I'd like to see the Dodgers honestly get in and then the Guardians deny them. That at this point
that's
is the best
that's your
outcome.
Best case scenario.
That's my best outcome.
So the problem with that,
what's your best case scenario?
It's got to be I want it to be Yankees-Mets, because I don't want the Dodgers to have any sort of shot at a World Series title.
Okay.
What about you, Tony?
I would like to see the two coasts face each other.
Dodgers-Yankees.
The LA, yeah. New York.
I would like to see that.
I think that's what you're going to get. But we'll keep an eye on Game 3, Mets-Dodgers, a little bit later on this evening. Until we get to that, we got a lot to discuss. We have a sports court coming up. Chris versus the fans, the big five. Yeah. We talked about all of our Aztec stuff, so San Diego State fans, stay close by. And when we come back, though, another article has come out on one of my favorite web pages, and it is an article that is basically saying that Luis Arraez is useless. And I just cannot get behind this. I don't think Tony can. We're going to get into it a little deeper, tell you what was written about the Padres leadoff hitter when we resume. Gwynn and Chris, happy to be with you. Happy Wednesday, everybody. 97.3 The Fan.
1-1 pitch out towards the right center field gap. Carroll on the move, not going to get there, and it's down for extra bases. Arraez into second with a double, his 200th hit of the season, and he may have just locked up the Tony Gwynn Award as the batting champion of the National League.
They say he's pretty much worthless as a baseball hitter, player. Welcome back, Gwynn and Chris, 2:21 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby. Fangraphs taking shots. They wouldn't say it's a shot. They would say it's just
a very analytical way of looking at the situation.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. I'm pretty sure anybody who actually, you know, is doing this would feel like it's a shot, regardless of the analytical.
It doesn't say one nice thing about him in the article. And it's not just a quick shot either,
no,
Tony.
It's a lengthy
breakdown of what a disastrous waste of time Luis Arraez is.
It's funny.
Yeah.
There's a few quotes in there that don't know where they actually came from. They're just quoted as, you know, someone saying it. Nonetheless, it's an article, as Chris said, about virtually there being very little advantage to having a guy like Luis Arraez.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only thing I'll say to that is I'll combat that with all those dudes who played with him in Miami, played with him in Minnesota. It's just the people who actually don't play that don't value him. Everybody who's actually on the field, including managers, just ask A.J. Hinch. Just ask, you know, many of the managers have chose to walk him intentionally in the, you know, course of a game because they realize the value he brings. So, you know, I think ultimately, by the way, Luis, happy health, man, had his thumb surgery today. I remind you that he won a batting title.
Played with that all year, pretty much.
Yeah, torn left thumb ligament.
And often you could see him reacting to that.
Anytime he didn't hit the ball perfect, he reacted to
it. So it only happened about once every 20 at-bats, because the rest of the time he hits it perfect.
In that article, do they talk about a guy who gave it his all while he was playing injured all season and still won the batting title?
No, because this is an analytic-based article.
Okay. Yeah, it's so confusing.
Because I want Luis Arraez on my team.
We all seem to on this show.
RE24.
Yeah, that's got to go. He's got to pick that up.
It highlights exactly.
RE24?
That's right.
The statistic that directly tells you, you know,
how many runs a pitcher saves or allows in a given situation.
No, I don't think that's the one. RE24, it's
This
it
is
measures
incredible.
It directly. It's quite simple. If it takes the run expectancy.
It's not quite simple, but go ahead and try and explain it anyway.
It takes the run expectancy of an inning before each plate appearance and compares it to the run expectancy afterward, with the difference credited or debited. I thought we were talking credit cards now. To the hitter. It's context dependent. Got to have context in order to really use RE24,
okay,
which is clearly important when you're talking about scoring runs. Men on second and third with two outs, a single is way better than a walk, and RE24 tells you that.
Oh yes, I'm sure it does.
A two RBI single counts for 1.63 runs above average in that situation, while a walk counts for 0.22 runs.
Yeah.
Bases empty to lead off the inning, a walk and a single are the same. 0.4 runs.
Yeah.
Batfan says on the chat, yeah, who needs a guy who gets 200 hits and doesn't strike out?
You don't need him at all.
Well, the RE24 rankings this year, Aaron Judge is on top with 95, whatever that, however they arrive at that. Shohei Ohtani, 79. Juan Soto, third, 69. Luis Arraez, -3.3. Like, he's not even good enough to get a positive result, according to these guys. -3.3.
Now, how do you...
It's rendering him utterly useless. And not only useless, he's hurting the team. It's really incredible to me.
It really is incredible.
How do you determine run expectancy?
I don't know. Tony just explained it. So
you don't get it. It's pretty simple.
It? Come on, it says it's
you
simple.
You said it was simple, but it wasn't simple. You're predicting how many runs are going to happen in an inning, but
based on who's batting, and then I don't understand
pitchers
it.
And matchups and
RE24.
Look,
maybe.
I can get a lot of the newfangled stuff. I'm more than willing and happy to discuss OPS now. I feel like that is a more telling statistic than batting averages alone.
Yep.
On base is a big deal, slugging. But when they go into the rest of this stuff, you lose me. And I know part of the reason is I'm, in an older generation. I'll accept that. But I just don't see why, analytics has such a problem with the guy in baseball who is the best at hitting the ball.
This is great.
And there is something.
He's not the best at hitting the ball a specific way.
I know. I guess not. Yeah. Not only I guess not. -3.3, Tony.
I mean, listen.
Couldn't even get a positive rating.
If you could create a machine and make every player a certain way, then fine. You can do that. But everybody comes into this game with their own tools.
Yeah.
And, the thing that A.J. Preller did well this year was he got a bunch of different types of tools.
Mixed them together.
It
came out pretty good.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to name the name of the writer because I don't even want to give him any promotion. But at the bottom of the article, if you go to FanGraphs, it does have his Twitter handle. So if anybody out there either, finds any craziness with them, you can shower the guy with some Twitter stuff if you'd like.
I think he's ready for the smoke because I checked his Twitter already. He has the story up there ready to roll.
He's got it front and center.
He's good to go.
Well, the other thing is not only did he just say, basically write that Luis Arraez is a useless player, he, quote, backs it up with like 400 paragraphs worth of useless information. Nowhere in here does it say what his batting average is. And, the team that he played on had the second best record they've ever had.
He makes the point that Luis wasn't as game-changing for the Padres. And the reality is maybe there's some truth to that, but he also, again, played a season with a torn thumb ligament. And that's not mentioned anywhere in the article. So if you're going to
it wouldn't benefit the guy's article to mention that.
So if you're going to write that, at the end of the day, you should at least mention the fact that he pretty much played hurt, for a long period of time and still found a way to hit 300. I don't know that his numbers really moved as much.
JDS on the chat has been angry all week. The shows on this station need to put more pressure on this team. And this comment, I guess that's the data the Dodgers used to shut us out for 24 consecutive innings. We need our analytics department to match the powerhouse teams. Mm-hmm. If the data helps us to get to a championship, we need to take it seriously.
Shut up. Yes, I'm sorry.
What? I did not expect that.
What? That's... The analytic department is the reason why they shut the Padres out?
And we're talking about analytics that are...
That's ridiculous.
See, I've talked about analytics. I like analytics that are based upon things that happened during the game.
The analytics department was what happened prior to that. What was the Dodgers analytic department doing during the regular season? They just took the year off, and then they came back there.
I thought they lost because they switched out the baseball before Manny Machado came to bat.
That's also true. That's also true.
What did the analytics have to do with that?
I'm fine with analytics as long as you present both sides, as long as you present things that hurt your argument and help your argument.
This isn't even about analytics, ultimately, because analytics are here. They help. Cool. But I don't know. This article here is trying to convince us that what we just saw with our own eyes throughout the course of the season was incorrect. And on top of that, doesn't even mention the fact that, he just got out of surgery today. I think it's a very important part. Ligament. It's a huge part of it. So it is what it is.
If you're looking for it on FanGraphs, the title of the article, The Myth of Luis Arraez.
I'm clicking that's a good title, though.
That is a draw me in type title.
I will click on that. I will anger click because I want to know why you're bashing my guy Luis.
All right, let's get to break. On the other side.
You can tweet your displeasure to the writer.
I don't do that because I tell people not to do
really,
that.
Really? You don't do that, huh? You don't engage in Twitter arguments with people
with other
there?
People, but I don't go to someone's... No.
With like, well, other, is this guy not another person?
Listeners and Padres fans, I don't go to the writers. It's like I didn't go to Ken Rosenthal's Twitter and write, you're a jerk.
I got you.
All right.
All right, let's get to break. On the other side, Padres 2025. There is some answers, some questions, I should say, and some answers on the other side of that. More Gwynn and Chris.
Chat guy's name, who's taking endless crap right now? JDS?
Yes,
JDS. I'm sorry, man. I shouldn't have told you to shut up, but...
JDS did say it was
apparently,
funny.
Apparently, that was one of the nicest things that had been said to him, Tony.
You're being ridiculous.
He's being a little ridiculous, he's taking a lot of heat right now.
He said, although Tony telling him to shut up was funny, it wasn't helpful.
It wasn't.
Which I'll agree with, JDS.
I apologize. No, I can't deal with any more like ridiculous.
Craziness. Yeah. If you want to enter the chat, do so at your own risk. You can watch the show, as always.
It wasn't helpful.
On YouTube. You search Gwynn and Chris on YouTube there, and you can watch us in action. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Hey, San Diego sports fans. Buffalo Wild Wings is kicking off football season. They got two limited-time sauces. Try their new Buffalo Bacon Sauce for bold notes of smoky bacon. Or get the fan favorite, hot barbecue, before it's gone. Stop by your San Diego Buffalo Wild Wings.
You can order say that. You can say B-dubs.
Oh, B-dubs. I didn't know what that is.
Oh, that's their Buffalo nickname Wild for their Wings, own yeah. restaurant.
Okay. I honestly did not know. I'm sorry.
There you go.
You can order now for takeout delivery. Buffalo Wild Wings, go. All right, then. What?
We learn something new every day.
Did everybody out there know that Buffalo Wild Wings calls itself B-dubs?
I think
I can't believe everybody knew that.
I think quite a few would know.
Really?
Yeah, the commercials more than half? B-dubs. Yeah. Yeah.
More than half the listeners know that Buffalo Wild Wings is called B-dubs.
I can't say more than half, but I would think.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm learning a lot of new stuff this week.
Are you stacking poker chips over there?
I'm learning a lot of new stuff this week, including hygiene stuff I didn't care to know yesterday on the program, if you want to go back.
Yes.
All right, Padres, eventually we're going to have to turn the page on this season, so let's start doing that now. 2024, I'm looking at the Padres NLDS roster, so the 26 players who were active for the division series against the Dodgers. We're not going to cover every single player in the organization, but I thought we'd just kind of run down each guy, Tony, get your thought, get some of Scraby's intel on what the future is.
Scraby's got intel?
I've studied the contract.
He probably has
situation.
Better contract intel than I do.
He's our expert,
but we're going to try it anyway.
I can read off enough. Of a website, though.
We're going to try it anyway. All right, let's start with the catchers. Kyle Higashioka. Scraby, he is a free agent, if
correct.
I'm not mistaken.
Unrestricted.
Unrestricted free agent for him, so they have to sign him back.
They have to sign him and pay him a lot more money than they paid him this year.
He made $2.18 million last year. He's 34 years old.
Right. So how much are you willing to spend, or are you just going to kind of have to let him go, Tony, most likely, do you think? I mean, somebody's going to probably give him a very nice contract for what he did this year.
30, almost 35 when he goes into next season.
Yeah.
That might play in your favor.
I think we'd all like to have him back. I don't think that's an argument.
I don't know that he'll price himself out of being able to get him back.
Okay, maybe we get him back.
Wow.
Tony leaves the window
Spot
open.
SpotTrack is saying the market value for him is $1.63 million.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that the
market's even less
gonna,
than he made this year.
Yes, correct.
I don't know that the market's going to move far enough away where the Padres can't bring him back.
I hope you're right. The backup catcher in the NLDS series was Elias Diaz.
He is also...
I'm assuming we kind of bid adieu to him.
Yeah, they're going
to
let him go.
Let him go.
You still got Campy.
You still give. I think you got to give Camposano one more shot as a backup, at least, at the very least.
For sure.
Unless somebody trades him for him in some sort of deal. I think Camposano is still an intriguing enough player that I'm not ready to give up on him entirely.
He's under team control anyway.
But he could be included in a trade somewhere, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Infielders, let's start with the previously mentioned Luis Arraez. We don't need to mention too much more. He's
not on here.
He's not. He has one more year,
he's got another year
of arbitration.
No, I'm mentioning everybody.
Oh,
I'm just going through every player.
Yeah, we're not doing just free.
Yeah, no, I'm doing everybody.
No, gotcha. Because there is some talk about whether or not they trade him with his last year of arbitration. He made $13 million last year. I think if you want to pay him $13 million, I think that's a pretty good price for him. But I don't know what you guys think. His market value, according to SpotTrack, is jumped a little bit. $17.2 million. Would you pay that for one season?
I would. Yeah. Quickly.
You're going to pay it. You're going to pay it.
Arise.
They're going to pay him what he wants. Or arbitration number.
Right.
Next up, Xander Bogaerts. He's locked up for a long time.
Yeah.
Jake Cronenworth, locked up.
And let me go back to Xander. No, the Padres cannot trade his or move his contract. I get that question a lot. Can they trade Xander in the offseason?
Why not?
The Padres? I mean, I guess they can, but what team's going to take the Xander Bogaerts contract?
That's a different
that's
question.
That's what I'm saying.
If
I'm just
they're
addressing
asking,
that.
Can they move him? Yeah, they could, but it's not going to be something to do.
Somebody would have to take on his contract.
Yes.
Cronenworth?
I don't know that they would want to.
I don't either. I think Bogaerts is going to play shortstop next year. Jake Cronenworth, next up. He's here for a while. Manny Machado's not going anywhere. Donovan Solano.
Free agent.
Yes, that one's
what is his expected market share? It's probably not a whole lot more than he...
He'll be 37.
Yeah, he's getting older,
when the season starts.
But he was really good this year for the Padres.
It's phenomenal.
I don't think anybody
they don't even have
that.
An expected salary for him, but he made last year $790,000.
League minimum.
Tyler Wade. I thought he was a very valuable guy. And I would think he's not going to have a contract offer any more than what the Padres could afford to bring him back. Any disagreement there?
Nope.
Or
they're saying the estimate for him is 1 year, $900,000, which I think is pretty fair.
Okay. This guy wasn't on the NLDS roster, but I think we should mention Ha-Seong Kim.
He's gone.
Tony's pretty much, we've all bid adieu to Ha-Seong.
I think he's gone.
All right, outfielders, let's start with probably the most interesting one, Jackson Merrill.
All right, now
we know he's playing for the Padres next year.
And he may not be an outfielder.
And that's potentially possible.
I'm just saying.
You're throwing a fly into the ointment there.
I'm just saying.
Jackson Merrill is obviously at the beginning of his contract. They're saying his estimate for next year is $800,000. But Dennis Lynn did report...
If he wins the Rookie of the Year, he can make more, too.
He can make... Oh, because there's incentives.
Bonuses,
yes. Gotcha. Okay. But Dennis Lynn wrote, before the year, the Padres and Jackson Merrill had some sort of talks on a contract, and it didn't come through, so maybe they do it again this offseason. Would you lock up? Because when I thought about this, it kind of is like an Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna thing. You lock him up early, you don't pay him huge money.
Then you get him at a better rate
later
on.
Right. Yeah. What do you do, Tony?
What do I do?
Yeah, what do you do? You're AJ Preller. Are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely trying to do it.
But I'm always trying Merrill, to keep. I'm also, trying to keep everybody. I think you got to ask from an owner perspective. How much money do you have to spend now?
That's
good
true.
Point.
I think that's what I'm thinking. I think the time to do it probably would have been before the season, because now Jackson knows how good he actually is.
Yes. I don't know that you're going to get a great bargain
now. What is his incentive to do it now, when you just put up? You just broke a bunch of rookie Padre records.
Man. Yeah.
I think he'll be back next year at a similar rate, and they'll have to deal with it down the road.
He's not even, arbitration.
No, he's nowhere near.
No, he's pre-arb in 2026.
He's getting league minimum.
Yeah.
So, listen, if the Padres want to keep adding around that, they're going to probably want to keep his contract.
They'd like to keep him low.
Where he is, so they can keep...
You can kind of do like a Brock Purdy thing where you have one of your most important players be one of the lowest paid guys.
Eventually time runs out on that. Eventually you're going to have to pay him. But I think especially in year one, two, you probably want to try to keep it as low as you can, knowing
that you want to add to the roster somewhere.
Right. Let me see what Ronald Acuna Jr.'s contract was.
He's not happy about it now.
No, he's not. It looks like it was 8 years, $100 million. This 2025, he's going to make $17 million.
So he's making Luis Arraez money.
That's insane. That's insane. But that's the problem. I mean, he accepted the contract.
He made a deal to do that. He's secure.
100%. First of all, $17 million is nothing to
it's not like
go home crying about.
Terrible salary.
But I'm just saying, in terms of Ronald Acuna and his status in terms of best players in the game, 17 mil is a little light.
Would you offer Jackson Merrill?
Albies is even less than that, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Cause, yeah. Would you offer Jackson Merrill 8 years, same contract, 8 years, $100 million?
Not right now.
All right. Okay.
Our next guy up might take a moment as well to discuss Jurickson Profar.
I think this is going to take all week.
Yeah, we'll have to give a Reader's Digest version. I think everybody wants him back. He's going to be asking
what
for more.
What does his value say?
Does his value say he's worth a lot more?
Let's go see. Let's go see. His market value, according to SpotTrack, is, it is worth a lot more. It's not $1 million, guys. It's $12.9 million average annual salary.
I think that's a good number.
2 years, $26 million.
I think that's a good number for him.
I sure hope they
just
keep him.
Just remember, the year he went into free agency the first time he left. I think he ended up with Colorado. I think that was for $9 million.
He didn't, get very much. So, not what he was hoping.
With Colorado, he got $7.75 million.
Well, I will say this though about Jurickson Profar: it's a long shot because I like him so much. I know we all do, but he did not perform in September or the playoffs anywhere near what he had done. Is that something that is in the back of the Padres' minds if he gets a big offer elsewhere and they decide, you know, we can't match that?
I don't know if it should be in. I don't know if they should consider that at all.
Okay.
Honestly.
All right.
Because there was a bunch of people who did perform in September.
That's true. We'd have to cut the whole team loose.
I don't think that should be considered.
I just worry about a guy, an older guy, coming off of a career year.
Jurickson's only 31.
Yeah.
That is insane because he seems like he's been playing baseball for a long time.
Forever.
But how many miles are on those tires?
Not as much as you think.
Okay.
So the question has nothing to do with miles on the tire. The question is, do you think you can get something close to what you got this past year? Now, I'm reminding everybody, Jurickson was the number one prospect in all of baseball like two consecutive years.
Yeah.
So it's not as though like this completely came out of nowhere. Like, he was, you know, people thought that he could be this at one point.
And he finally was.
He's also a Boris guy, so that's always more difficult.
Scotty B.
So, Jurickson Profar, Chris? 2 years, 26 mil?
Oh, you know I want him.
Okay.
I love Jurickson Profar. Fernando's not, no need to discuss. David Peralta is a free agent. Right?
He is. Yeah, it didn't list it on SpotTrack for some reason, but he is.
I think you just kind of, you know, he could go or stay. It's not going
to
change.
I don't think you have to make a decision on him.
No.
You know.
The market will tell you what you need to do there. The other outfielder is Brandon Lockridge, who's just a
pinch
runner
in
at the moment.
Is he a free agent? I don't think he's free agent.
No, he's pre-arm.
Team control.
Yeah, he's got a while.
All right, we got 5 minutes to run through the pitchers. Jason Adam, locked in, eighth inning.
Yes.
Dylan Cease, locked in, but
for at least
eventually
1 year
you have to give him a new deal.
Yes.
Yu Darvish, locked in for a while. Jeremiah Estrada.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Pre-arb.
What?
I think he's pre-arb. Sorry, that's my keys.
Arbitration.
Chris ate a cracker. I was about to.
I did not.
I know.
My keys. Pre-arb, I believe.
Yeah, he is. He's pre-arb next year, or 2026. He's expected to make $800,000.
So he's same as Merrill.
Yes.
Here's a guy I liked, Brian Hoeing.
He's with the team.
Okay.
He is. Let me just confirm.
I thought he might be a free agent.
I don't think he's a free agent. Let me just make sure. He is. He's going into his first year of arbitration next year.
Okay. So we got him.
All right.
For a while.
Michael King is good to go. Yuki Matsui
only has Michael King only has one more year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he and Cease are in the same boat then.
Well, yes, no, Cease is under a deal, isn't he?
He's
on arbitration.
I just don't want to get this wrong.
So that's why we're stopping down to make sure. Yeah.
It's an estimate. How do I check on the arbitration now? So it's an estimate of $13 million.
Okay, so let's just assume he's arbitration, just like, who's the other one we were just going over?
Michael King.
King.
Yes, and Michael King is projected 10.7.
Yeah, he's going to get a nice pay raise, especially if he goes to arbitration.
Last year he made 3.15.
Yeah.
So they're going to figure him out. Yuki Matsui's on a deal, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that was not well spent money. this past season. Hopefully it will be better spent next season. Adrian Morejon. Wandy Peralta. Any thoughts?
Wandy is a player option. Yeah. I'm sure he's taking that.
Right, and 4. The Padres 3. Will probably not take it.
No, they don't get a choice. It's a player option.
Oh, so
not a mutual.
Then he's on their team.
Right.
Update. Dylan Cease did agree to a contract with the White Sox to avoid arbitration. One year, $8 million.
So it's still an arbitration deal. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's still arbitration.
All right.
Martin Perez is a nice pickup
free
near
agent.
The end of the
free
year.
Free agent, yes.
Tanner Scott, we've already kind of waved goodbye to him.
He's supposed to be making like $17 million a year as a closer.
And he wants to be the closer.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine he'd have any interest in staying. And finally, Robert Suarez.
He's
pretty happy with him
for a while.
Yes. Okay.
So if we went through that was 26 guys. The only two, correct me if I'm wrong, the only two guys that were really big contributors to what this team did this year, and everybody contributed, don't get me wrong, but two big contributors that we said bye to are Ha-Seong Kim and Tanner Scott.
Which Tanner Scott's a foregone conclusion. So, Ha-Seong Kim, you never know.
Right. But to me, this team comes back looking pretty good next year.
Oh, yeah.
In general.
I don't think there's any question this team comes back in a good spot. And they can add around the edges as they did this past year.
Right.
I thought Eric Hosmer was off the books, but he's not.
What do you want to do with him next year? Bring him back?
No, they're still paying him.
I know.
They could have been saving like $12 million.
That's how he can just sit around and do podcasts all day.
These are the best.
I got to say,
this podcast is pretty good.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
His hot takes.
I wasn't criticizing it. How he can afford to do it.
I know some fans don't want to hear it, but it's interesting baseball information.
And
it's a lot of inside baseball.
You talk about the first voice that fired on Ken Rosenthal. It was Eric Hosmer.
I got up
the very next morning early, and his face was the first one I saw on
good.
IG.
Yeah.
So
he's not afraid.
Ken Rosenthal, we're going to probably remember this forever. At least we will. And if anybody out there forgets, Scraby and I will keep reminding you of it.
And this goes on top of the time that he reported Max Scherzer was a Padre, and then he took it back like 20 minutes later and said, wait, he's actually a Dodger, everybody.
That was a flat-out mistake. This was just
it's
poor.
An unforgivable. Chris, we celebrated on the show for a half hour about Max Scherzer.
Maybe 20 minutes. We may only get 20 minutes. As far as the dugout's concerned, real quick, going to break. Mike Schilt's staying.
Yeah.
Hopefully Victor.
I did see that.
And Ruben.
Those
are two biggies.
Uh-oh. I saw, I think Kevin reported it. That
Kevin AC?
That Ruben's contract was up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Okay. Those are big ones.
Yeah.
Does he want to be a manager, you think?
I don't know. I know he's a really good pitching coach, though.
Yes, I do. I'm agreeing with you there. All right, we'll get some Daily Gambit, winners, losers, some games coming up here tonight in the sports world, and a lot of good stuff still ahead. Aztec fans, don't go too far. We're talking both basketball squads later in the show. Gwen and Chris.